Support for WGLT's Grow comes from FS Custom Turf by Evergreen FS. FS Custom Turf offers complete lawn and tree care services to preserve the health of yards, trees, and shrubs. Products and services detailed at evergreen-fs.com.
Welcome to Grow. I'm Sarah Nardi. We're coming up on the holidays, and on today's episode of WGLT's Gardening Podcast, we talk with our resident expert, Patrick Murphy, about a little piece of flora that we've long associated with the season, mistletoe. Patrick is with ISU's School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. Patrick, hello.
Glad to be with you again.
All right, so mistletoe. It's definitely a ubiquitous symbol of the holidays, right up there with Christmas trees, perhaps. So can you give us a little history on it?
I thought this was interesting after seeing some pictures of mistletoe growing in a large live oak in Texas. These balls, these orbs of green up in these skeletons, I thought it was beautiful.
I'll
be damned, that's mistletoe. Mistletoe is one of many carryover traditions taken from the pagans and adopted by Christianity. Christmas trees, roasted chestnuts, Yule logs, or other plant life examples we've talked about and we enjoy while celebrating Christmas and the winter season, that are also pagan carryover traditions. Pagan traditions see the mistletoe as the soul of the tree or of an oak tree. Standing under or displaying mistletoe could be a sign of fertility, availability, health, and wealth, all the things, along with a good credit score, that make you an attractive partner. And it was also burned as part of an ancient Druid tradition that honored the same.
Okay, and I've read that the Druids came to view mistletoe as a symbol of vitality because mistletoe could bloom in the winter, in the cold, dead, barren heart of winter. And so they'd administer it to people to promote fertility.
That's my understanding, too, and it is a late fall, early winter blooming plant. It's parasitic, so it grows in other plants, and it's a plant with glossy, leathery, kind of shiny leaves and a white capsule-type fruit, and this plant is highly visible on the host because the host usually has no leaves when the mistletoe is flowering.
And, you know, I'd never heard it was a parasite, but I think if you've ever been pinned beneath the mistletoe by some lecherous fellow at a Christmas party, it makes total sense, right? It's kind of poetic.
It's almost got the creepy factor built in.
Yeah.
Right. Lecherous.
Lecherous.
Don't you look at me with your lecherous eyes.
All right. Now, you say there are some mistletoe imposters out there.
Well, yeah. I think over the years, I've observed holly bundled and hung over a doorway or at parties, displayed in a manner to imply mistletoe, but it's not. It's not the same. Holly has a shiny, glossy leaf, but it often has shallow sinuses with little spurs on the end of each leaf. There is a holly called inkberry holly that has a long and slender leaf, but the berry is blue, so it's getting a little closer to mistletoe.
Okay.
But it's an exception. It's a rarity. It's an ornamental holly that you might not see otherwise. One thing I thought was interesting is there any mistletoe growing inside of an inkberry holly somewhere? Because that could be kind of nice. The white berries and the blueberries. Has anybody heard of this or seen it? Let me know. I think it'd be really interesting. Could be highly attractive.
Yeah. Any listeners out there, get in touch.
And mistletoe leaves grow in a bundle, and they produce berries kind of on these little antennas or little stems that make them highly visible. I did try and find that inkberry holly stuff on the interweb.
The interweb.
I love it. But I couldn't find that. So that's a sincere challenge if anybody knows if that's a possibility.
Yeah, if you can beat the interweb, buzz in. And then you say mistletoe leaves grow in a bundle and they produce a berry that's white in color. And I always thought mistletoe berries were red. Am I thinking of holly?
I think that goes to the, you know, the comment I made about a lot of times are imposters that are made for the sense of expedient decor.
Right.
Or by a lecherous individual that's desperate for some mistletoe.
Yeah, throw some holly up there. Try to pull the wool over my eyes.
Got a holly problem.
Don't make a fool out of me. Right. Okay, and these berries, the mistletoe berries, the white mistletoe berries, you say that they are toxic and we need to be careful. Is that so?
They are toxic.
And while we're on the topic, I wanted to ask you about another jolly little holiday symbol that could hurt us. Poinsettias. Are they poisonous to dogs and cats? Because I've always heard that.
The poinsettia is mildly toxic to dogs and cats because of the milky white sap, but it's not deadly. It make them sick.
Okay.
I think that's the worst it would get. Now, the mistletoe, on the other hand, it is toxic to people and pets.
Oh.
Through the berry, however.
Okay, so don't eat them.
No.
And you know another interesting thing about poinsettias is that I grew up here in the Midwest, right here in Bloomington Normal, and I always said poinsettia. But then I moved to Southern California, where everyone pronounces it poinsettia, and it became a real point of phonetic contention between me and the Southern Californians. Is it poinsettia or poinsettia?
Well, I think it's both, and I'm not trying to kiss up to the Californians. I love you all, and I love the state. One of the most beautiful places in the United States.
It is.
But common names for plants, as well as versions of their scientific names, they're sometimes pronounced differently. So I think that there could be something said for that. Phonetically, in the English language, I think poinsettia is the proper pronunciation.
It sounds better.
Yeah.
It sounds better.
Yeah.
I feel pompous and false when I say poinsettia. So well, I'm gonna go back to my roots.
Yeah, that could be a funny conversation too. You know, I always laugh. Comedians talk about friends that over enunciate ethnic terms.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
Like ricotta cheese.
But that was what I was gonna say. Yeah. Ricotta.
Yeah.
No, you don't sound cool. You don't sound cool.
You're not.
Nobody wants to sit next to you at a restaurant if that's what you're ordering. Okay, so back to mistletoe. It's a pretty plant, but it is a parasite. Does it do any damage to its host trees, these beautiful oaks?
It doesn't really hurt them too much. It has an interesting appearance. It kind of looks whimsical because it's, you know, an orb, kind of like a moss ball. I'm referring to both kinds, either the kind that grows in a tree or the kind that grows in the bottom of a lake in Scotland. Just big green ball.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we have to talk about that,
okay,
too.
Okay, that's its own show.
Here's something that I thought was interesting. The mistletoe likes the sunlight, you know, so a lot of parasitic plants kind of they get the creepy factor hiding in the shadows and stuff like that and swinging from trees in the swamp, you know, like Spanish moss. It's beautiful, but it's creepy at the same time. But it usually does not kill a tree, but it can be a big setback for its vigor or in its health. And so
ironic, right?
Yeah.
Given that it's a symbol of fertility.
Right. The worst thing that can happen is it can be devastating to, say, timber crops or an orchard of some kind. The worst case is it would be usually the beginning of a sequence of events that has a crescendo of tree failure. So this could be a step in that path, but all alone by itself. I think it's kind of cool looking, actually.
I think it's kind of cool looking, too.
So there was another detail I found interesting about the mistletoe, and that is the birds eat the berries when the plant is up in the tree, and then the pulp on the berry, it upsets and sours in the stomach of the bird, and the bird regurgitates it. The acid in the regurgitation starts to break down the coating on the seed, and since the seed was consumed in an aerial position in a tree, and the bird hacks it up, he's still in the tree. Oftentimes the seed with a little bit of barf on it ends up in the crevice of a tree and it starts growing again.
Oh, what a smart little seed.
Yeah,
right?
How about that? The seed's pretty. It's attractive. It's one of the reasons we find mistletoe appealing. And the birds like. I just don't know what kind of bird, though. That's the only thing. I need to talk to some bird folks over at biology and ask them if they know what birds are eating seeds.
It's a shallow little bird, just drawn to something for its appearance alone. So what have we learned about mistletoe? Don't eat the berries.
It attracts creeps.
It attracts creeps. Get consent if you're going to corner someone underneath that mistletoe.
That's right.
And keep your pets away from it.
That's right.
Okay, Merry Christmas. Well, if you have any questions about the garden or landscape, get in touch and Patrick Murphy will answer them. I'm Sarah Nardi. Send your questions to wglt.org/grow.